On today's show, we're going to discuss our upcoming somewhat spontaneous plans, which got me to thinking, let's talk about a little the possibility of doing things spontaneously in the world of Disney. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 509 of Traveling with the Mouse, thereabouts, canon. I am your host today. This is John, and I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Adam? I see you tried to flash your loyalty.
Yeah. Team Monorail.
Team Monorail.
Team Monorail.
Yeah. Did you like that little what we call it, screenshot that I sent about that someone posted? They actually did it in a Disney like humor site. It was still kind of true. The one that says, just a quick question, as a currently active monorail rider, why does it always smell like pee?
F. Well, it's 35 years of pee.
35 years of pee. Interesting.
Accumulated over time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably more BO than P. I don't think tomorrow is something P, but
maybe it's just when BO saturates, since it does come from a human body, it starts smelling like P. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. But it's also it's also like mildew from the air conditioning that hasn't, like, filters that haven't been changed in 30 years.
See, I find that hard to believe, because if it was truly mildew, I think people would be getting sick from the monorail.
Well, you're not on it long enough to, like, breathe in that much.
Oh, I don't know. Especially in tight quarters. Especially at the end of the night.
But next time you get on the monorail, stand up and look at the vents in the ceiling. They look pretty bad.
I just find it hard to believe they're not clean to some degree. Or at least not to have, I mean, to the point where they don't have mold. I just find it hard to believe.
I'm sure I took a picture of it, too. I'm going to see if I still have that picture.
Yeah, but that picture was from how long ago?
Like, maybe a couple of years ago.
Okay, but still. Then again, the monorail does have its way of, like, self-airing out by, like, you know, the door falling off and everything.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. That hasn't happened since, like, 2018 or something.
Hey, what was that? Hey, I'll use it anytime I can get. Just as you could use something about the Skyliner crashing that only happened that one time, really. Severely.
Well, glass is broken twice, so Stone Cold is visited.
Glass is visited twice. It's like when you hear glass, it's just the Skyliner colliding.
Stone Cold. He's here.
Anyway.
Oh, the Skyliner just crashed at the Riviera station.
I'm going to say, do you still get kind of a, what do we call it? Like an adrenaline rush, maybe, or a thrill every time they come swinging into the station?
Depends, yeah. Some of them you do. Some of them it comes in faster than others. Yeah. Or,
it's, yeah. It's kind of funny. Kind of fun, yeah. I should say. Not
especially
funny.
Kind when of it fun. Kind of sways side to side at the yeah, same yeah. time.
It's like it throws you forward a little bit and then backs off.
Yeah.
That's the way I know to explain it. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same when you take off.
No. Not. Sometimes you take off pretty quick.
When you
too,
take flight.
Yeah. When you're about to wave at your adoring fans below.
Right. If you're, or you're about to talk about how you learned how to say hello in a different language. Right.
Yeah. All that stuff.
No.
I'm not going to be able to find it.
Yeah, it's too long ago. It's probably even longer ago than the door falling off.
No, not the picture. Right, but.
My point being, I feel like come on, we talk about Disney and their attention to detail. Surely they have sanitized it to some degree, the monorail, since then. They have plenty of time to do something.
Well, just because they clean the interiors, like the seats and everything, and the floors still look pretty bad, but they don't get every detail of it.
Is there like a device we could bring in that tests for mold? You want to do that next time just to see if it's some in the air?
Yeah, I should actually. If I have such a thing,
you can probably.
I should do.
There's something for testing mold. I don't know.
I will I'll have to do that.
Nowadays, you could probably get it on Amazon. You probably get something that does that.
I have 6,559 pictures from Walt Disney World.
Really? Is that all?
So, from, well, just on my...
You mean you didn't post the mold shot on Instagram?
No, because that would be bad for, like, I wouldn't post a negative thing about the monorail.
Oh, come on. Oh, but you would about the Skyliner, is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, I would, totally.
All right. Well, anyway, we were somewhat discussing pre-show.
Yes.
About, well, a couple of things. Basically, our upcoming plans? I guess you could call them plans.
Yeah.
Well, in your case, I didn't know you were planning on this, but this is in the next couple of weeks, really. You actually have plans to head west.
Yes. Out west. To the mothership.
To the mothership.
Walt Disneyland. Oh, wait. It's just Disneyland.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to go see, like, where Walt's head is.
It could be. Is it there?
His disembodied head.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in Disneyland. I think it's in the...
Birdland?
I think it's behind one of the Utilla doors. Get it?
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Could be.
It's somewhere in the basement.
Come on down to Birdland.
Come on down to Birdland.
Birdland is your land.
Yeah. So, do you have plans on... Do you know where you're going to stay?
Do you have it?
It's going to be... I forgot... It's one of the Hiltons on Harbor Boulevard.
So you already have it in place.
Yeah, it's booked. I mean, everything's booked.
Flights, like
90%
too?
Sure. Flights are booked, but we're going to L.A. because it was cheaper than flying to S&A.
To SNA. SNA. Yeah, I always refer to it as SNA.
John Wayne.
I like that airport, though. It's smaller. I think I like smaller airports.
Yes, and it's way closer too, but
it does cost you a little more to fly there. For some, I never have figured out what they base that on, why it's more expensive to land certain places.
Because Delta has more flights going to LAX, so
could be. But I mean, there's certain airports. It seems like it's more expensive for you to go there than it is to go to another one. I don't get it. No matter who you use.
Yeah. Well, maybe smaller airports charge more or something. I don't know.
I know the time we did it, we were just discussing this. It's been 13 years now since I went to Disneyland. And
yeah. It's been 9.
Yeah.
Since I went.
Yeah. Then we did fly into, I purposely chose John Wayne because I wanted to be closer.
So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Speaking of which, when we got our rent a car, we almost opted for a convertible, because they were going to give us an upgrade for free. I don't know why I didn't take it, but the vehicle we did have, I forgot what it was, but it was one of those, like, very fuel efficient, and it was full, and he said, no, just run out of gas before you bring it back. Well, it took forever to even try to run it out of gas. Like, I couldn't run the thing out of gas. just in those few days. So,
right.
But I tried to bring we just rode around a little bit to try and bring it back empty. But
why bring it back empty?
I don't know.
Usually they want you to bring
I don't know. He said bring it back empty.
Yeah. So they could charge you more for gas?
I have no idea. But I guess maybe there was something. Maybe I had already paid for it in some way, shape, or form. I don't know.
Oh, you could have prepaid.
Maybe that was what it was. I don't know. It's hard to remember now. Again, it was 13 years ago. I do remember that being convenient as far as getting to where we were staying. We were staying at the Ayers Orange, which is actually right across the street from the Honda Center where the Mighty Ducks play hockey, which is kind of an outlier, actually. I mean, it's not like in the deep of any city. Of course, things are a little more spread out that way anyway, right? So, because we passed, I can't think of the name of their ballpark now, but the Angels... the Anaheim Angels ballpark on the way to that. And it was like setting off to the side, like with nothing around it.
Yeah.
I mean, you say that far away, but it's really a short drive to get to Disneyland. It's not that far. As far as like, yeah, no, I couldn't walk there like you can, if probably from some of the places right around it, but.
Right. Yeah.
One of the things I remember back then is it was interesting, like driving in that area, like it feels like Disneyland is on like this couple of blocks, right? And they like they have like trees up or where you can't see for DCA, especially like the backside of DCA. Like they have stuff built up where you can't see in.
You can definitely see the back of Radiator Springs Racers from a long pieces. And
well, from you can't really see anything too much from driving though, like being on the street. Like no, it depends on where you are.
Certainly can't see the castle inside from from anywhere outside.
I can only imagine what that all looked like back when that was parking lot for Disneyland. Because it had to be a lot flatter, obviously.
Yeah. So, well, there's not much to see, I'm sure.
Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Yeah.
Right. So small.
I do remember the couple of things that I had to do that I was all... couple of things that I took note of because, you know, I grew up, and I guess you got to see a little bit of it too, those specials that they used to show on the Disney Channel.
Oh, yeah.
They were older specials, but they used to replay them basically on the Disney Channel, right?
Right.
That involved, like, you know, Pirates, of course, when it first opened, and the new Tomorrowland and all that good stuff. And it was neat seeing the People Mover track. I just kept thinking, like, I wish I could have ridden that People Mover.
Right.
You know, so
it would have been almost 30 years now.
Yeah.
The last time it was operational.
But the last time, I was there, Bugs Land was still there. I guess it was when you did too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was still there.
Hadn't become Marvel Campus yet.
They were just getting going on the Galaxy's Edge construction when I was last there.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah,
I don't even remember seeing much of like construction walls, but
for me, that was actually my first Under the Sea ride was actually in Disneyland, not Disney World.
Before, right.
Because it was already open there.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. The year that I went, I didn't even think about it at that point in time, but it was literally like a month after Radiator Springs was open. We were there.
It was brand new.
Yep, it was brand spanking new at that point. We managed to get on it a couple of times, actually. Radiator Springs Racers.
Yeah. Currently, it's closed for a refurb. It's been down since late August, I think, or somewhere in. Sometime in August. So it was about a month-long refurb. So hopefully, it will come back up on the last day that I'll be there. So we shall see. But Big Thunder's also down there because they're doing a track replacement there, I believe that's what they're doing. I'll see if I can see what's going on with it.
If I recall, I had the good fortune of seeing both sides of Radiator Springs. You know, the Ramon side and the Luigi side.
Right. Back when it was there. Yeah.
And it actually fully functioned.
Yeah. How long has that been since it? But I do want to do Mayor's Junkyard because that one is
better.
It's better than Alien Swirling Saucers, but
it's basically the same ride. Why is it better? Just because it's Mater?
Yeah, it's a better theme. And Larry the Cable Guy does the actual voice for the ride. So.
A plus for Adam anytime it's an original voice.
It is. Yeah. It says better themed, yeah.
Carry the Label Guy.
Okay. Could be.
I bring that up. It was actually I guess he would be considered like a stepbrother-in-law in a way, but he made that, you know, when he was talking about him one time, he actually said that, you know, how people get tongue-tied or whatever. He said, carry the Label Guy. Yeah. It's like,
where am I taking
that's actually pretty good. Carry the Label Guy. Anyway.
Where are you going to take the Label Guy? Caring.
Anyway, off track.
I've been looking at wait times at Disneyland too, and they're not that bad. I mean, but of course, despite how small Disneyland is compared to Magic Kingdom, they have like twice as many attractions.
True, they have more people eaters, so to speak.
Yeah. So the wait times just aren't that bad. But again, maybe it's down a little bit there too. I don't know.
I'm sure it is. It depends on when you go. I would think during that time of the year, it's probably going to be lighter.
Yeah.
Just like it's kind of been light in world, but it's going to pick up again soon, I'm sure. Probably around the time that I'll be there.
Holiday season's coming up, so yeah. Halloween to New Year's, there'll be a few lulls, but it'll mostly be pretty busy.
Yeah. I will say this, since we brought up the slowness. You know, Disney had some ticket deals. So this is touching on that they're soon to go away in Florida. They're about to expire.
I see. The three-day ticket.
The three-day and the 50% off kids tickets. They're the three-day three-park ticket for $89 per day. Of course, that was excluding Magic Kingdom. Duh. It's valid through September the 22nd, so it's only got a couple of weeks left. And the sales of it are actually ending in a couple of days. So, September 12th. The 50% off kids ticket sales will also end on the 12th, but it's actually valid through only the 20th. So, we're talking less than 10 days at this point to use that one, 12 days on the other one, right?
Yeah.
But that to be purchased in the next 2 days. I feel like once that is done, they're probably going to potentially announce something else. Like right now, you don't really see anything too much for the rest of the year. Might be because they don't think they really need anything to take care of the rest of the year. Maybe they feel like they're pretty booked for the end of the year.
Well, I know they still have the Georgia resident one.
Yeah.
Which goes through like Christmas Day.
Yeah, but I don't think it's available until what? When does it start though? What days does it start? It's not like currently active. I mean, it's currently active to get, but I think the dates for actually using it don't start until like November.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. But what I was going to say by that is I feel like, and I'm kind of hoping that once this stuff gets down and gets kind of expired or gets a little bit closer, I feel like the inventory might update a little bit too as far as the resorts go. Because just to kind of give you an idea of what I'm doing right now, during our fall break for locally here, basically just get a couple of days. It's like the teacher work days type deals.
Mm-hmm.
We plan on going down to that area.
Yeah.
I haven't fully decided. I might mix a little bit. I might do Epic and Disney. I don't know. I haven't fully decided. It's going to be kind of a truly wing it type of trip. I literally have nothing booked right now. I've just been searching. So I'm trying to do this on the budget side of things, we'll say. So if something frees up that's a little bit cheaper on Disney property, like a value or a mod even, if it's the right, you know, if it's on the Skyliner particularly, if the right thing opens up, I might go on property. But the other, the other idea is to do Airbnbs because you can get some super good, like townhouses and stuff like that in the Kissimmee area. That's ridiculously good price. But you can also, I've also considered the Hilton option because I am like a Hilton member. I know you mentioned doing Hilton out west.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But I have thought about taking those that are over on Western Way, either the Homewood or the Home 2. They're both Hilton properties. So I've considered both of those.
Yeah. Those aren't bad.
But yeah, trying to do it somewhat budget conscious.
Are you going to just drive down there and see what's available, or
no? I'm not gonna cut it that close.
No, not that.
I'm not gonna rule out the possibility of actually booking something week of.
Yeah.
Let's see. How does it work now with Lightning Lanes? It's 3 days out, right,
for non-resort,
and it's 7 days for resort guests.
Correct. Yeah.
So I could technically put it together right if I was gonna stay on property. I could technically put it together right before the week of. Right, like as long as it was within 7 days of arrival, I could technically put it together on property.
Yeah, if you booked 8 days out, you could still get Lightning Lanes the next day. Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking to see because you know you're in that range right now where people they're getting close to the 30-day mark for this. It's right at it right now, right for this time period that I'm talking about. Which sometimes things open up in that mark. But we'll see. I think there's stuff available. They just don't want to have a lot of stuff discounted available. They're actually charging a pretty significant amount for a lot of these, to be honest. You know how when you first look, it kind of irks me the way they do this on the site now. Like, they always give you whatever the best price is, no matter, you know, if it's not, like, there's certain properties that are not pricing in the discount range.
Okay.
But we're going to show you, this is what we have available for this discount. And then you have to go in and change it to regular if you want to see what's regular. I mean, it's just annoying, to be honest.
I do hate that.
You have to change the offer. Yeah.
They need a better way of scanning for discounts on and what the rates are for different discounts. It takes so long to figure it out. Where a travel agent might be helpful
there.
We have a new travel agent, as I mentioned on our website. If you go to the desktop version, just to give him another plug, Jolly Jolly.
Let me give you an idea of the days that I pretty much have to be locked into. Arriving the 10th, leaving the 14th, right? Port Orleans Riverside, what they have available at least, standard rate for Port Orleans Riverside. And this is for, I'm looking now, this is for a preferred room, because apparently all the other one categories are not available. $395 a night is the average at Riverside. There is a Caribbean beach available at standard rate. However, it is a preferred room as well. You want to know what they're charging for that currently? What? $439 a night, average for that time period. Contemporary has a $439 a night for a preferred room at Caribbean Beach.
Jeez.
For that range. Now, apparently, they have a $1,040 a night main tower theme park view available at Contemporary. Or a garden wing one-bedroom hospitality suite for $2,040 a night at the Contemporary.
Wow.
The cheapest regular rate available at Coronado Springs is $411. The cheapest available at Animal Kingdom is $556. Cheapest at Grand Floridian available is $907. Art of Animation, $579. I mean, they just jack them up, basically, for this time period. $888 for Boardwalk, $733 for Yacht Club, $553 for Kidani, $732 for Beach Club. Yeah, it's on up there, folks.
Wow. Yeah, that's not cheap.
Cash grab. Whereas I could potentially have a, let's just say, a townhouse or home or whatever on Airbnb for probably about $600-$700 the entire four nights.
Right.
And have like three or four bedrooms and my own pool. Right. So, yeah.
The disadvantage would be missing the lighting lane window if you're going to purchase that.
Right.
You have the 3-day versus the 7, but I mean, if you know the drops and things,
it's not that important.
Yeah, you can still make it work.
And not only that, I feel like they reserve some inventory for the 3 days anyway. Sure seems that way.
Possibly. You probably wouldn't get like Squeaky Dog or Test Track or whatever, but same day you can get that. So,
not quite possibly. Fortune is on the side of the persistent when it comes to lightning lanes, it seems.
Yeah. Yep.
It's very weird though. There's sometimes, it's like on certain days when you wouldn't think it would be hard to get something, it's like the hardest thing to get. To get sometimes it's like it's random which one's the hardest one to get on there when you're trying to find it. Don't you agree?
Yes. And sometimes even booking the hard to get one is hard to do when you see it available.
Yeah. Like I had an issue the last time I was there trying to grab a Rockin' that just kept, like, I thought I had grabbed it and apparently I had grabbed it one later because when I went to tap in I was like, oh, I'm sure we've all done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we thought we had a time grabbed and it was actually a later time.
That was really a problem when Genie Plus first came out.
Yeah.
You would book something and then you'd see the time and then it'd be like 6 hours later. You're like, wait, what?
Correct. Yeah.
That happened a lot back then. It still happens now, but it's less of a problem today.
I had a hard time finding Ratatouille's back in the end of January, actually.
Kind of strange. Hard time booking it because it would show up and then just would refuse to book it, even when you saw it available.
Yeah. It's just strange like that sometimes. So anyway.
It can be.
Yeah. But this is going to be a true, what should we say, wing it type of trip, which I know I've talked about not being able to do very often, but I think I'm just going to suck it up and,
yeah,
you know, do that, you know.
Well,
see how it works. I think I might utilize touring plans as far as their, you know, what's the best idea to ride now, you know, type, use it for that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about spontaneity too, like Disneyland, I'm not really, don't really have a plan of like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this. I'm just sort of winging it a little bit there too. There's definitely all the things you want to do, which is almost everything, but
yeah,
it's actually pretty easy to do everything at Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
I was debating also, do I get MaxPass? Or, well, I guess it's called MultiPass there too now. They changed it, right? But it's $36 a day at Disneyland, no matter what, it seems like. So it's more expensive than Disney World to get it. But you don't really need it until same day, which is a little bit better there than in Florida. But I don't know. I'm trying to decide, do I get it or not? I probably need it for a couple of things, but not everything. So, I think the first day I'm not going to see how it goes. And then if I need it the next day, I might get it. That's one of the things I do like about Disneyland, looking at it, is not every ride even has it, and most rides don't need it. So that's sort of the beauty of Disneyland, is like even Pirates isn't on it.
Right.
There's certain rides that just aren't on their lightning lane system. You don't really need it for most of them. So the big rides, obviously you do, but
yeah.
Don't have a big plan. Don't have a plan on where I'm going to eat or anything yet either. I'm just sort of do it on the fly. So
I'm considering doing something that we have discussed before, and that's going to some of the lower rated places to eat.
Okay. Are you going to go to Tony's? Like, which one?
It might be included, which, I mean, I don't necessarily have to be obviously too worried about getting a reservation if I'm going to do that.
Do you have some in mind, or?
Well, Sandin Hill is usually a perennial bottom feeder.
I feel like I should give that one another try too, because it's right next to my favorite place at Epcot. So
yeah, you're right. Speaking of which, how'd you like that song? I thought it was kind of catchy.
Yeah, I did.
The Cava Nights.
I'm going to comment on it. I have, like, I tried to write one with AI too, and I wasn't happy with it yet. But
for those of you that don't know what we may be talking about, we've actually messed around with an app. I guess you pronounce this Suno.
Yeah,
you can basically tell it to make. You can just describe a song if you want to, and it'll totally make it up for you. Or you can kind of give it. You can help it with the lyrics sometimes too, depending on how you want to do it. It's kind of neat to play with.
Yeah, what I like doing with that app, just so we're, it's a sidebar, of course, but is writing the full lyrics and working it out in like AI first, like ChatGPT or something, and just work out the lyrics to where you are happy with it, rather than just making it come up with its own. Because sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not at coming up with lyrics on its own. So I like to like work it out ahead of time and then just see what it comes up with.
We might need to do that then. Are we allowed to use that, I wonder? Is it copyrighted?
I don't think so.
AI. Maybe you should exit the show with that. with the Beacon the Barrel.
Yeah, I made a song about Beacon Barrel with in a sea shanty kind of.
I thought it was kind of catchy.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it turned out really well.
Yeah, but
that's what I did with the lyrics. I worked it out in ChatGPT first and then put it in there and made it a sea shanty. Maybe I'll play a little bit of it at the end or something.
Yeah.
Post credits or something.
Do it while we're exiting. Reviewing the show. Instead of our normal.
Okay. Maybe I could do, I could use some of it there. Yeah.
Use the Beacon in the Barrel. Oh, excuse me. Sure. Not the. You kept saying the barrel.
Right.
Beacon the barrel.
And barrel. Not the Beacon the Barrel, but whatever.
Beacon the Barrel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of, have you watched? I haven't watched a lot of vlogs from there or whatever, but from what I've seen, it looks cool.
I mentioned I was watching Resort TV 1, I think it was last Friday, because the Halloween party they were at, it was the same one that my brother and his family were at, actually.
Yeah. Were they able to get in, by the way?
Get into what?
Beacon Barrel? Or
oh, I don't think they tried. I don't know. Yeah. They actually, they stayed at the Swan for like a 2 nights, and then they moved to Bay Lake Tower that they were on renting points there. So, but they didn't do Animal Kingdom at all. They stayed like the whole week, but they only did Studios one day, and then they spent multiple days at both Epcot and Magic Kingdom.
Jeez.
So, but they also did it in a way that they didn't go early, I don't think, but maybe one time. The rest of the time, they pretty much, it was like afternoon before they even went to a park. So it worked out though.
Yeah.
They got to do what they wanted to do.
Wonder if the Swan has done any, did he mention that? Has the Swan done any?
I hadn't really discussed that part. Or, yeah.
I know they were going to, like they had talked about like Swan and Dolphin were going to get a huge, but I haven't seen any construction yet. So I wondered.
Right.
That was like over a year ago when they said they were getting a huge, like tens of millions of dollar refurbishment on the Swan and Dolphin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Has anybody broke for the Swan Reserve? No one?
Has anybody what?
Tried to go to the Swan Reserve. You haven't stayed there.
A friend of mine did stay there, but I haven't seen any of it. They liked it a lot, actually. They're like the Marriott reward people. Bonvoy they have.
Right.
Well, they use points there, too, and they loved it. But the Reserve is usually expensive.
I can imagine if you're using points, especially, I mean, that would probably make, that would lessen the blow. And then for what you get, I would imagine you would think that was to be a great deal.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that they go all out there with the service and everything. And the, yeah.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't.
Right. They had an Epcot facing room so they could see the fireworks. They were high enough to where they could see the fireworks. So they loved it.
Yeah.
They thought it was cool. Great. But that's the only people I know who actually stay there. So,
Interesting. Okay. And basically, well, where were we last when I said that? I ended up getting on. You asked me if they went to Beacon Barrel. Okay. And I mentioned.
Oh,
yeah. Because I was talking about how I saw them. I was looking at Resort TV 1 just to see if they were going to run into them like they've done in the past. Because they've actually said, you know, like high on the stream.
Sure.
Before.
Yeah.
Or at least James and Russell did. So he has done that before, so I didn't know if they were going to try and run into them or not, which they were seemed to always be on the opposite side of the park from them whenever I was watching. So,
yeah.
But it just so happened that I caught a part where they ran into somebody who had like an extra spot, I guess, for a reservation that they had. And Jenna had not been, and so they took her along. They let her come with them to the Beacon Barrel because she had not been in it. Not. I'm talking about Jenna off of Resort TV 1.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So she got to go.
Huh. That's kind of cool to be able to.
Yeah. I guess that's the beast. You're famous enough that people will see, like, hey, have you guys been yet? Well, we have an extra
spot.
He was actually going to give up their spot for both of them, but Josh had already been, and he was like, you don't have to do that. But they took her with her.
Oh, we happen to have extra reservations and like shove somebody the other way. Like, now we do. Come on in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was like, what are the odds we could run into a listener that has reservations? I was like, come on.
Yeah. They wouldn't know us by our voices, maybe.
Maybe not.
Possibly.
I have enough shirts that I can wear them enough that maybe it'll influence someone.
Stand out.
Keep going there and be like, they're like, see the shirt? Musk.
It's me.
I'm not begging.
Right. Give me in the 33, really.
Yeah. Another one thing I heard him talk about is, like, I don't know how long this is going to be this way, but they only let you stay in there like 45 minutes. You have to leave.
Mm. See, I figured that would be the case because it's like Oga's is still that way after 5 years, 6 years, whatever it's been.
Well, I think it's too because of the popularity versus the space. I mean,
yep.
It's not big.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make a place like that, I don't know if they just didn't anticipate it or what, or maybe it was just a space they had to work with. If you're going to do something to that level that you know people are going to go see it, why make it small? I mean, it makes no sense.
I think it's two things. If you made it bigger, if you didn't have this, you'd have loggers and folks just sitting there all day. Like, they'd be there for hours if you didn't force them to leave. Because they'd be live streaming the whole day from there just to see what the entertainment is and how it changes. And people would watch it, I guarantee you. But I think it's smart that they're doing this to get as many people in and out as possible. So I think that's a good idea. But the fact that they have that 45-minute time limit is interesting, because I told you the other day, I got up at 6 a.m. when the reservations dropped just to see, and they were gone so fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can book 60 days out. It was like November or something. I was just looking at the day that popped up and gone. It was like boarding group fast.
That's one of the things that, well, we'll just say, of course, they didn't expect it to be that way. Back in the day, you probably didn't have that issue, but the cava size. I mean, they probably wouldn't have lines. They wouldn't have lines if it was bigger, you know, things like that. Yeah. But
I've also spent like 2 hours sitting there. But we have.
You're the reason for people waiting. Yeah.
Well, most people do the walk up, though. I'd say like 90% of the guests do the walk up.
I could see that being a thing.
Yeah.
Where was I going to go with this? Oh. One of the reasons, of course, it is a popular destination too, but I felt like I found out, because it'd been a long time, when I actually got one for Cinderella's Royal Table, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was a kid the last time I'd eaten there, when it was actually called King Stefan's Banquet Hall.
Right.
But when I went there as an adult with my kids and I saw the amount of space, I was like, well, no wonder it's not only popular, but it's like, there's not very much room to put anything else. So, yeah. I mean, that's the two problems, I guess, is both popularity and space when it comes to things like that. So,
yeah, that's the thing. But I don't think it needs, I think I kind of like it as like a small, intimate type place that's heavily themed. So I don't mind it. And I don't mind the 45-minute thing, because it kind of, you get in there, you get a taste of it. It's fun. And you're out. And I think probably the other reason is you don't want drunk people at Magic Kingdom. So 45 minutes, probably a 2-drink maximum. You can't take anything to go because it's Magic Kingdom. So you're not going to have like drunk people stumbling out of there.
Are you trying to say that happens at Epcot?
Yeah, well, yeah, it happens everywhere but Magic Kingdom. So,
yeah, and the thing is, what's interesting about that is I don't think that it was really a problem back in the day. I don't know what that speaks to, but because they still had stuff, they still had alcohol available at Epcot, obviously. So,
right. Yeah.
Well, back to my winging it. We've kind of winged all of this.
Yeah. Right.
Again, I don't have any plans. I don't have any tickets. I plan on getting the tickets actually from a site, not officially from Disney, but I've done this before. I did it once through Undercover Tourists, and because they had good, like a discount off of it, off of regular ticket prices. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's not great discounts anywhere out there most of the time, but any little bit can help, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say, and there was a place I heard about actually on another podcast. I don't remember the name of it now, but I was going to go check it out. I'll have to go back and get the name, but I was just going to see how good their ticket prices were. I don't know how these places get discounted tickets, truthfully, but
yeah. I was going to say, usually when you see discounted tickets, it's not much. Bank of America, I think it was, had a Disneyland discounted ticket. And when we looked at the difference, they made it seem like it was like, but when you looked at the difference over a 3-day ticket, it was like $100 cheaper.
Well, see, that's just it. The places like, I have compared a couple, like the places like Sam's Club, Target, you know, the ones that advertise, they have these things, right? Even like my own work related rewards or whatever. Whenever they have like a good pre other fee price, but by the time you have the other fees and stuff, it's no different. It's like very little difference, if any at all.
Yeah.
The Sam's Club one looks great on the surface, but then when you actually put it in the friggin' cart, it's like no different than if you bought them from Disney.
Yeah.
Right. It looks great until the final price on a lot of these. Not that way with Undercover Tourist. You can actually see the final price and compare it and see that you're saving. Let's just say in the case of my family, a family of four versus what you would get for, I think what I looked at was it was either a 3 or 4 day with Park Hopper, one of the two.
Mm.
But when the final cart price versus the final cart price on the Disney site was about $86 difference. You say, well, that's not that much in the overall considering how much you're spending. Still $86. Right. That's $86 you could spend somewhere else, do something else right. with. So,
yeah. And again, like I said, $100 was the difference in price for that Bank of America offer. And yeah, that would get you the multi-pass for a day for three people, roughly. So it's not that it's nothing. It's just that it makes it seem like it's a whole lot better than it is.
Right, right. So, you're not going to see
these
astronomical discounts on tickets. Tickets pretty much are what they are.
Like
rooms, sometimes you can get great, but not tickets.
What are those? I think
the stuff you see when you're traveling, like when you're going down 192
or driving down 75 when you first get into Florida, you see the place that says $40 Disney and Universal tickets and
$40.
That's what they say.
Are you sure it says that still?
Mm-hmm. It still says that.
Sure it's not an old sign?
If I seem to remember, I think Justin Scard did a video on that. And it's basically you have to sit through a timeshare presentation and they give you full price tickets at $40, but they try to sell you a timeshare for 2 hours or whatever.
Right. So you're wasting,
you're wasting time, which is more valuable than the money you save, honestly, but
depending on how much time you have.
Yeah. So if you really want cheap tickets, you can sit through.
There's some of those that are just downright scams too, by the way, the roadside ones anyway.
They probably are too,
Like some people get ripped off and then can't get in. I mean, it still happens.
Yeah, they could be money tickets. Yeah, you just never
know. That still happens. So you don't want to go. A lot of times, it's just good to follow that old rule. If it sounds too good to be true, probably
it is. Usually is. Yeah, exactly.
So it's good to follow that line, especially when it comes to those tickets. There's just some advice here. If you see a too good of a discount on Disney tickets, do not go for it.
Most you're going to say is a few dollars a ticket per day, that kind of thing.
And I will say, using a place like what we've mentioned here, though, places like that, if it actually, when it all said and done, it does save you that little bit of money, I would say go for that. I mean, it's worth it for that, too. So, I don't know if I think I mentioned it earlier, but the other option room-wise I was considering, I think, did I say I was talking about the Hilton? Yeah, I did. I said I was talking about potentially doing those Hiltons that are...
Yeah.
I don't think they've been there that long, have they? The ones that are over on Western Way. They're not that old.
Oh, Western Way? Yeah, no, those are new, right? Yeah,
those are two and the Homewood.
Yeah, those are pretty new. The old ones are the ones by Disney Springs.
Right, right.
Those have been there for a long time.
Been there a minute. But, I mean, you've stayed at the DoubleTree. You've liked it.
I like the DoubleTree. There's two Hiltons, the Buena Vista Palace and just Lake Buena Vista or whatever. They're definitely older. They're fine, but
they're all over there on what they call Hotel Boulevard.
Right.
Right. So
I think the most convenient one is that Hilton Lake Buena Vista, not Palace, because you could technically walk. There's a crosswalk you could walk to Disney Springs. I even tried that one day.
It's probably the more expensive one too, right?
They're usually about the same, but I think they charge more for parking maybe. I think they both charge for parking now.
Well, I just meant those two were more expensive than the DoubleTree, for instance.
Yes, the DoubleTree was cheaper because it's further, a little bit further away.
But anything on that boulevard's what I consider close.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. What I was saying though is that One Hilton, you could crosswalk to Disney Springs and you could take buses to the parks and stuff from there, but or to well, the nearest hotel.
They don't have one. Yeah, I was going to say they don't have one that goes to parks from Disney Springs on purpose.
Yeah.
So people don't get the idea of parking for free and then going.
But you can go to, like, you know, Beach Club and go to Epcot, or you can go to,
if you've got the time,
and take the Skyliner or whatever, you know.
Once again, if you get
longer, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we're getting close to time to wrapping this up. So we might discuss this again maybe a little bit later.
Yeah. I think we are, yeah.
But yeah, I think we've kind of talked. What my goal is for this coming trip is to try to do it as budget conscious as possible and try to give a report based on, well, doing Disney for maybe a little less. There's no such thing as like cheap, don't get me wrong. But doing it for less, trying to do Disney for less. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to keep up with this and see. If I'm going to really truly do the less, it's probably going to end up being an Airbnb, because that would definitely be the cheapest lodging option.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially for the space.
You could probably have your own pool.
Yeah. Now, you may have to drive a little further to get there sometimes.
Yeah.
But
especially if you have to use I-4, it might not be the greatest way to get there, obviously. But
yeah. If something like maybe a pop opens up and it's okay, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then I might consider that.
Yeah.
But as far as staying on property, I might consider that if a pop opens up. But
you know what I realize is that every time I've gone this year, I stayed at Pop. Three times I've stayed at Pop.
Yeah, I mean, Pop, you don't get the biggest room in the world, but I mean, it'll work. You get Skyliner right there.
Yeah.
It's the most convenient Skyliner resort, in my opinion. I mean, because it's not it's not far from several buildings.
Yeah. It's not too bad at all. Yeah.
Unless you're in the 90s. The 90s is only the worst building, right? 90s or 80s, really. 80s would be a little further, too.
But honestly,
you're 70s, 60s, and 50s. 60s is obviously the most convenient, especially if you're on the far end. They're in closest to the bridge. But even the 50s, though, walking along that outside walk, I don't think it didn't seem that bad whenever I looked at it when I was there.
We were in 50s in January, and we're actually closest to the main building on that side of 50s. And then it was straight line to the Skyliner. And we were 80s the next time, and that was the worst. 70s most recently, and 70s was right in the middle, too. It was pretty good. So,
yeah.
You can't really go wrong except 80s and 90s.
90s being the worst, right?
It's really that one 80s building and one 90s building that are the furthest. There's one 80s building that's decent. But
basically, if you have the older decades, you're probably in better shape for Skyliner, at least.
Yeah, because 50s was pretty good, too, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was walking at that time, and I was walking because there's like that edge is kind of like a wood line or whatever that has a walkway. And it's really not that far to get to the bridge walking that wood line. I don't know if you've walked that one. But yeah. So yeah, I would say that for the Skyliner purposes, I kind of like being somewhat close to the Skyliner. It's weird because you would think it would be equal with the other side for Art of Animation, but Art of Animation, unless you really have to be in a specific building for the Skyliner to feel close. I don't know why that is. You pretty much have to be in Nemo for the Skyliner to feel close.
Yeah, it's like if you look at a satellite, it's like the resorts are slightly... Like the bridge to go across the Skyliner is 60s, but it's like Nemo. So it's like
the resort
off a little bit from.
Yeah, like if you were staying in Cars, it would take you a little longer.
Right.
And the same as if you were staying in Lion King. It's like,
yeah.
And Mermaid for sure.
Yeah, it's just the way that the two resorts are lined up is.
Yeah, something about it.
Is more centrally located than Art of Animation.
Yeah, something about the way they're aligned. I don't know. They're aligned a little different. But
exactly.
All right. But yeah, I'm going to look at that, look at trying to get due to tickets the least as possible. And we'll see how it goes from there, you know, and I'm considering even throwing in a day at Epic.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
All right. Considering. I say it's a consideration.
See how it kind goes.
And it depends on the busyness. I mean, you know.
I hear you.
I would say, just to kind of wrap this up, on your trip, do you have a particular goal, like of a particular ride that you're, like, is there one goal ride, so to speak, for Disneyland or DCA?
There's a lot, actually, but the main ones for me are pirates. I gotta, like, see the best pirates again, and then the Haunted Mansion has the overlay, the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, and
Right.
Want to see something different again with Haunted Mansion. So, of course, Incredicoaster and hopefully Radiator Springs Racers again. So I can get an idea of what River of America is going to look like for Florida in a few years.
I don't think it's going to be the same layout.
No. But, and it's supposed to be like off-road vehicles, right? Not cars, but.
Yeah, but it's still going to be a test track. Style track, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call that.
I definitely want to check out Lamplight Lounge too, I think. I was looking at that. But otherwise, I don't really have a whole lot of dining plans. I think my son wants to go to Tiana's because of the...
Now, you've never done the Guardians ride there because it wasn't around when you were there last.
Correct, yeah. I'll probably do that one. I'm not a huge Tower of Terror person. It's like drop tower. Person,
but it's not the Tower of Terror. It's the...
right.
What's it called? Oh, I forgot.
Mission Breakout?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's Mission the one, Breakout. Mission Breakout. I keep wanting... I was wanting to call it Cosmic Rewind, but I was like, I know that's not right.
Yeah.
As far as this, I think a couple of things we didn't get to do the last time. Want to make sure the girls get a chance to ride Rockin'.
Yeah, before...
Since they're tall enough. Before it changes, I mean, for all I know, they'll probably like the new change better.
Probably.
The new test track, of course.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, they haven't ridden Tron either. So.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
They never got a chance to ride Tron. So I think that's kind of the three main things. I'd kind of like to go on Dinosaur one last time because we know when it's going to close.
Right. Yeah. You might get to see the red Tron, right? If you go to...
Well, it's going to be the movie opens that weekend.
Yeah. So I wonder
so if I don't know if they're going to have that overlay. That would be neat.
And the new music, right? So that'd be kind of cool.
Interestingly enough, Nine Inch Nails. I'm pretty sure it's instrumental.
Yeah, hopefully.
But it was pretty sure it was just the soundtrack was just done by Trent Reznor.
Right.
It's just very weird. It does sound like he would do the type music that Tron would play, though. That's the thing. So
Yeah.
That's that style.
Right.
But, yeah. All right. So, I think that wraps up this episode. So, you can find us on Facebook, X, Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store. We have a TeePublic store. We have a YouTube channel. Where can you find all this, Adam?
It's on our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. We have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We also have, as I mentioned earlier, our new good neighbor travel advisor. His name is Jolly Jolly. And he's linked on our website. So if you need help booking a trip, you can check him out.
So for Adam, this is John, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
The Pecan Barrel, Pecan Barrel, I'll meet you down at the Pecan Barrel.
To the Pecan Barrel, Pecan Barrel.
Beacon the barrel, I'll meet you down at the beacon the barrel.